And welcome back to Mining Stock Daily. This is Trevor Hall. And a Tuesday morning intra-market update, I am joined by Peter Spina. This is his first time on the show. Peter is the president of GoldSeek.com. It's a great resource website with a lot of commentary and ideas regarding precious metals and everything involving the macroeconomics surrounding those metals. Peter is based in Prague. Peter, I'm glad you can join us. Thank you so much. Before we kind of get into the crux of the conversation, how are things there in Prague and Czechoslovakia? I saw photos on your Twitter account a couple days ago. Things seem pretty quiet on the St. Charles Bridge there, where usually it's bustling with tourists and people.
Well, that's right. Nice to be on your show, Trevor, and thanks for having me on. Prague is in an interesting period. We're a couple weeks at least ahead of you in the United States and Canada in this process of the lockdown. So we've gotten to the point where we've been taking some more aggressive action. Actually, we cut off international flights from China to other parts of Europe before a lot of other countries did. We locked down the borders quickly, and that's what led to this empty, these empty scenes that I've been showing. It's gotten very quiet, but on the other hand, the measures taken have flattened out the amount of new COVID infections. So we'll see how that translates, kind of sets, you know, gives some kind of precedence to what's coming next in the U.S. But it's still taking a while. They're thinking it's another couple, 2-3 weeks before we peak in the infections in this kind of wave, and we'll see if we start getting some more normalcy back as far as restrictions outside of what we can do right now, which is pretty similar to what's happening in your part of the world. But economically, it's a total economic devastation and collapse on a city like Prague, which depends on tourism. You know, Airbnb is shut down. There was thousands and thousands of apartments being let out on that to all the restaurants and so on. So it's a huge impact, and it's a bit shocking to see. But, you know, as you walk over Charles Bridge, which is, that's been around since 1357, they started building it. You know, it's seen a lot of different plagues and in a lot of different times. And you see, you know, you'll look at those scenarios and say, you know, well, we get through this and things will change, but it'll come back. And soon enough, you know, people will be coming back here. But the question is how long? And until that point comes, you know, there's a lot of problems to deal with, and there's going to be some big economic losses in this period.
Yeah, I think before we can even address some of that, we got to find a bottom somewhere. And I don't think necessarily where we're at today is the bottom. Relatively, we're flat across the board. Just going over some quick numbers here. The Dow Jones is up 100 points. That's just below 0.5%. Russell 2000 is up about 0.25%. NASDAQ actually is up 90 points, just above 1%, which is interesting. In the miner section, GDXJ is basically flat. GDX is definitely flat at just down a couple tenths of a percent. But Peter, what I really wanted to talk to you about, I think is really important, is the strength of the DXY and the dollar. I mean, even with the $2 trillion stimulus and continued announcements by the Fed and repo actions, the dollar is still staying strong right now. As we record, it's at 99.42. The dollar is not weakening as much as a recovery would deem it to need to be weakening. Give me your thoughts here on what this overall means as far as what a continued stimulus will look like going forward.
Well, there's so many things going on, so it's got to be looked at in different perspective and time frames. In the short term, the strength of the U.S. dollar is representing the global shortage of dollars. The U.S. dollar is a global reserve currency. It is a gold standard around the world. It is what is used to purchase oil, the petrodollar, to a lot of different deals and loans are priced in dollars. And so the dollar is used in global reserves. Central banks use a bit under two thirds of the reserves are in dollars. So it's there for a reason, because it's needed in trade and so on. Now, what we're seeing is there is a tremendous need for dollars in the moment now, with loans and, you know, bailouts and problems with corporations and all sorts of different needs for cash and dollars. So central banks around the world have been demanding or asking for more dollar swaps. So just to kind of maybe keep it on that level. The central banks around the world have been opening up lines, swap lines with the U.S. Federal Reserve in New York. And this was expanded from the last 10 years from 2008, where several banks had this line of credit open with the U.S. With the Fed. So, you know, there's this huge global demand need for dollars, and the Fed is supplying now 20 or more of these central banks with swap lines. From Ecuador this morning, which I think did a swap for gold as a collateral, to tens of billions going to Norway, to Switzerland, to all around the world. I mean, Japan, everyone is demanding dollars. And so that's being reflected in the value and the price of the U.S. dollar relative to other fiat currencies. There's a liquidity issue, and people want dollars, and now, they don't keep a lot of dollars around in banks as it is. that's also a problem. So, you know, debt is inherently deflationary. So there's a lot of debt having problem right now, and a lot of loans and things are due, and not a lot of cash flow and stuff coming in. So there's, you know, there's a demand for dollars, and they're trying to counteract that with all these swap lines and providing a global liquidity of dollars to counteract the strength. But I don't know how bad is this? How bad is the situation globally, economically, and all the debt out there? It's quite large. So, you know, this could last for some time where the dollar is in high demand and the Federal Reserve will be doing a lot of these. They'll just keep swapping dollars for other currencies. And that's a whole other thing where gold could come into play here, where they will be doing more swaps for gold as collateral. But essentially, the Federal Reserve enters into swaps with these other nations using their currency as collateral. And if the swap is to be unwound, if the dollars are to be repaid at a certain point, well, you have to use the exchange rate which the swap was initiated at. So if you get the scenario now where the dollar keeps rallying and the currencies, like whether it's a Czech Republic here, if our local currency falls by 50% against the dollar, 20 to 30% more already has dropped 30%. If it keeps dropping like that, it gets more and more expensive to repay those dollars. So I don't know. There's all sorts of problems happening with the strength of the dollar. So at some point, that's going to have to be addressed more because it's a big problem on the rest of the world. And I think that gets to the point where there's going to be a big dollar devaluation, but that might still be way off. But for now, the Fed is trying to, you know, take those actions. They're trying to pump dollars into the system in all sorts of ways, whether this $2 trillion stimulus or all sorts of different, you know, actions they've been taking. I mean, they've allowed banks to hold zero reserves on their, you know, on their balance sheets. They've destroyed the fractional banking reserve system. There is no fractions left. They don't have to have anything left in the bank. So they're just saying, you guys get the liquidity going. The economy has collapsed and things need to start moving. You know, there's no velocity. The velocity of money is really slowed down. So with all the debt and leverage out there and all that, they need to get that going again. So that's what they're trying to do, is pump the system with tons of liquidity, spend as much money as possible. There'll be more bailouts. There'll be more fiscal spending, more Keynesian economics, kind of just take as much debt as you can and create economic activity to deal with this really massive economic shock we're seeing right now.
What do you think it's going to take to, you know, how much of this money can they just basically generate at the strike of some computer keys and swap it out with other central banks around the world? How much of that can continue to go on until it realizes, you know, it's not working?
Yeah, that's at what point does it fail? I was asking that yesterday to a couple of other people to see at what point would the Federal Reserve stop swapping dollars? You know, is it at the point where where they've created too many of them, and then you start seeing too much inflation and are they going to bail out the entire world? You know, all these other corporations, are they going to just, you know, flood the system with too many dollars? We got to be careful, right? So they're playing a dangerous game. So that's what I'm kind of thinking there. You know, the dollar is still the number one reserve currency. It's like, where are you going to run? And that's where, you know, gold comes into play. But as far as other fiat currencies, you know, the dollar still is the global reserve and the king dollar at the moment. And I don't know if people would really trust running into most other currencies like the euro or the the one, or I don't know. It's there's a, your options are don't look very good out there.
Peter, so. you did mention it before about central banks and gold. So I want to ask you about the news that hit the tape yesterday about the Russian central bank announcing that it would suspend gold purchasing. So I'm just kind of curious what your thoughts here on that headline and why you think Russia has opted to do so when it seems like every other central bank really ramped up their purchasing in the last few years.
Well, I mean, that was same situation. Ecuador had a $300 or a couple hundred million swap line announced today, gold swap line with the Fed. So they were using gold. They just had been buying over the last 4 years. So they needed dollars. So they use that as an option to get those cash for dollars for gold program. Now with Russia, you know, they were very smart. And over the last several years, Russia, you know, they had a economic crisis and they did a lot. They took a lot of actions to prepare for another situation, difficult times, which unfortunately we haven't done in the West. For example, their debt to GDP ratio was dropped down to something like 17% this year, where we're running, you know, near 100% levels. It's outrageous. They've been buying tons and tons of gold. They've been getting out of the U.S. Treasury market, de-dollarization. You know, there's other games being played here, obviously, for power, who's, you know, trying to take that supreme power the United States has, which is has that supremacy with the U.S. dollar. But as far as gold goes, with them, they've been using it as a way to avoid using the dollar to have as a backup and stuff. So at this point, it's possible that they will stop purchasing it and maybe use that as a way to get some dollars that they need to in the short term. But I don't imagine starting to really dump their gold. They mentioned this. Okay, so this press release mentions they're going to stop purchases of gold from the domestic market. And you see that, whether that's in China or in Russia, when the central bank's accumulating, they're buying their gold from their producers. They're buying tons of that, and they still have a lot of demand, and they go out and, you know, like China's importing a lot of gold. So, you know, what they're saying here now is that they're not going to be doing that. So does that mean that they're going to start buying gold off the international market? Maybe with their strong, they do have strong dollar reserves in the euros. They might want to start selling them into a strong market and start buying gold off the international market because there still is some supplies left out there. I don't know. I think for the bigger picture is Russia uses gold as a, you know, way to have a backup plan, but also gold is becoming a currency in a global sense. And I don't think they should be in a rush, or they want to be in a rush to be selling that. So I think we got to be careful with what this press release means. And it's something, it's not quite clear what it means. So let's kind of see how this transpires and what the implications are. We'll have to kind of just watch out and see.
Peter, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but before we let you go, and because this is the first time you have been on Mining Stock Daily, can you share with our listeners how they might find you and maybe reach out to you with any questions?
Sure. Goldseek.com, silverseek.com. I'm on Twitter at Goldseek, and that's kind of share some thoughts there. And unfortunately, no conferences are going to be happening in the near term. I think PDAC was the last one. I said that in February. That's probably going to be the last conference from the mining industry this year, and who knows next year. So we're going to be doing something on Goldseek soon. We'll restart our virtual conferences and try to do something like that again to connect with everybody. But yeah, it's great to have programs like yours so we can still connect and share what we're seeing out there, because it's happening very quickly and there's a lot of things are happening right now. It's a really historic moment. So it's going to be very interesting in its implications as gold returns back in a very prominent way right now. So
it certainly feels that's where it's heading.
Yes, it is.
All right, Peter, thank you so much and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. Likewise.